Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Can't you see me? You're
Fourth divers are different. One was the intercessional groanings. And somebody's lost and they're trying to get to hell. And He'll actually move you between them and their destination because you love them. And there's a groaning in the things that'll take place in the Spirit until it's turned. And I've seen the most amazing things happen. It did such a work in my faith that I found out how to drop something off with God with such a finality that I just wouldn't go get it back because it was done. And I, wherever I go, I tell this about David a time or two, three or four times. Something happened in the desert, in Palm Springs, and it shook me to my core. I'll never forget it. We drove up in our van. The whole family was with me, including my oldest son, David. He's Crocodile Dundee. He'll snatch a rattlesnake up by the neck before it can strike. Hold it up, going, he says, "Can I go hunting?" I said, "Go ahead, but you know you need to be back by tonight because we're going to be preaching." So he goes out across the desert and goes way out there and winds around, looks. And finally, he got thirsty and saw a little establishment, just a real small little place on a dirt road. And he pulls over and a couple of guys come out. So he gets out of the van, and one of them, he walks over and he looks at the van, and all of a sudden he steps back and he says, "Where'd you get that book?" He's looking in the back seat. "Where'd you get that book?" David said, "Oh, that one. My dad wrote it." He said, "No, he didn't." He said, "Yes, he did." He said, "No, he didn't. It's the walk of the Spirit." "No, he didn't." "Yes, he did." "No, he didn't." He made him show him his driver's license. Then he lost it. And this is what he said. A few weeks ago or so, my wife and a couple of kids, my two kids, well, he didn't say couple, but they were going somewhere, and we had just started going to a little church over some Pentecostalism. And she and the two children got killed in a car wreck. He said, "I don't think much of a God that'll take my family." But then he said, "I remember she got hold of a book. She just loved that book. So when I remembered that, I go, 'Well, okay, God, Okay. Now, I lived in Tulsa, and that was California. Palm Springs. It was a lot of distance there. They're out in the desert. I'm not. He says, God, if I can meet the man that wrote that book by tonight, I believe. David says, follow me. I get a knock on the hotel door. We open it up. David gives me the story. He steps up and we prayed for him and he falls out under the power and he laid there about 30 minutes. He gets up and raises his hands and says, God is God. What's the odds? What's the odds? See, there really isn't any. What's the odds? Thank you. I'm 1 in 300 million. Thank you. There are several things that he had done, and when I walked off my job, and the problem being, like I was preaching the other night, I couldn't get in front of people. I'd rather take a D in English than give an oral report, you know. I couldn't, because I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. So I walked off the job and I started believing. You know, I had this old 58 Impala that smoked everybody behind me off the road. I got stopped 5 times by the state police and other police in just 150-mile trip. One of them says, I wanted to see what was in the cloud. And another one says, anybody hurt in that wreck? What wreck? That's a car, my car. That's what I was trying to go out and get things done. And as a catcher, at least I caught for a guy, you know. And I was trying to believe for finances and trying to do everything, you know. And so then it wasn't very long. I was spending that time praying in tongues. I didn't know what it would do. The fight was over whether you could do it by your will or not, you know. Can you just do it spontaneously or not? So I just voted on it myself and said I can pray anytime I want. Because I kept running out of English. I didn't know what I was praying. But I went somewhere and somebody said, would you pray for so-and-so? And I went and prayed for so-and-so. And they got healed. Everybody was shocked. Me too. So then all of a sudden this guy shows up in Oak Ridge. And he had patches on his elbows, and he brought his elderly mother with him, and she had shingles, just in a lot of pain and things. And he's what I heard God uses, you know, to. And so he comes out, and he has patches on his arms, and I'm thinking, who's this guy? Would you pray for my mother? I said, oh, sure. And prayed for her, and to my amazement, the shingles left. Him too. She didn't have any more pain. He said, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Is there anything I can do for you? And I said, no, I'm Errol Hitson taught me to be a Haganite. I said, no, a Haganite. He says, no, I want to help you. You got any needs? No, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory. You don't have any needs. I don't have any. And I'm thinking, look around. Look around. Go look at my car. He goes, oh, is there anything that I can... Oh, no, I don't have any needs. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory. He says, I can't do anything. Or not. Oh, no. No, I don't need nothing. Hallelujah. He says, okay, okay. I said, and I'm thinking, what could He give anyway? Look at those patches. Next day, I get a call from him. He says, let me reword this, okay? He says, what are you believing for? I'm thinking, didn't you see my car? I bought it and just going to a junkyard for $150. I'd buy tires from the junkyard on the rim. I called them slicks. I said, didn't you see my car? He said, what are you believing for? And I said, I'm believing for a new car. He says, what kind? I said, I'd like to have a Volkswagen. He said, what kind? A Volkswagen van. He said, you would? And I said, yeah, I would. He says, meet me at the dealership tomorrow. You know where it is? I said, yeah. So I meet him at the dealership. And I'm looking around and I don't know what to do hardly. I see these little bugs and stuff, but boy, there was a beautiful van on the showroom floor. He said, well, which one? I said, I want that one. He looked around. It took him a while to move stuff out of the way to get it out. It was a showroom model, you know. Well, he asked me. And so then it got, you know, they got it all out. And then we walked over to the pay time. I'm trying to drag my feet. He gets a checkbook out and starts writing a check. I thought, oh, look, he's going to maybe put a down on it for me or something. No. He paid for the whole thing. Over $5,000 then. And they had commercials, you know. I'd stop. I'd go back. I'd break out crying. I'd stop and get out and hug the front. I kid, it was mine. It was mine. Then he says, how about your wife? How about your wife? I went, yeah, she's okay. He says, what kind would she like? I said, I'll ask her. It was a Volkswagen Bug. And you know women, she wanted the one off the dock, straight from Germany, bright yellow. And he paid for that and gave it to us. I mean, how can he do this? What in the world? I didn't dare mention anything. I mean, a Volkswagen to travel in. I had room. But I made a mistake. I mentioned a motorhome. Wow. Then I come in one day and there's a big motorhome sitting there. It'd take my whole family. I just absolutely lost it. The things he did after that. I mean, one time I was leaving town and I'd been again preaching, of course, by that time. And I was just leaving town to go and I didn't have enough money, no gas money. And a woman flagged me down on the edge of town and showed a handful of money. And I went on. Just time after time. Later on, I found out that patches were in style on your suit and that he owned the entire Knight Trucking Company. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, how would I know? I didn't. But boy, I tell you, when I made that stand, and wasn't going to turn back. Wow. Wasn't going to. Made that stand. He stepped in and met our needs in such ways at the critical times. And I just... Well, the next thing I did then is I went on radio. And that got taken care of. And if you wanted to see fear, you should have seen me trying to approach a crowd of 400 on a where they had fairs, a fairgrounds that they wouldn't have one on there at that time. Put all a bunch of chairs out, and about 400 people come out because of the radio. And this was probably only a couple of years in after I had started. And I was so scared I wanted to run. I said, "You got this." I was going to run. I didn't know they would show up like that. It ministered to the people, and the bunches got saved, and bunches filled with the Holy Ghost. And my roots were ultra, ultra, ultra holiness. But old Earl Hitchin, he was a Haganite. And so he kept keeping me faith, you know, and that's who I learned that much from. And when I first met Earl, it was in a meeting in a church that didn't speak with tongues, but some of them were speaking with tongues and they were getting the others to do it. So he said, "You want to go with me?" And I said, "Yes." So so I went and they was teaching this and they taught. And Earl would say, "I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. I'm only moved by what I believe. And I believe I'm healed." And after he left, I waited. And they asked me, you know, they're expert, "What do you think about his teaching?" I said, "I don't think much of a religion. You can't feel." I was dumb personified. I look back on those days and I want to cry all over again. He's been so faithful. So I recently told you about from praying in tongues habitually that I learned from the praying what the praying did. And then after several years adding things to my foundation, I got my first peeps at all of this is heading us towards the fullness, the absolute fullness of the love of God. And that's what I've been closing in on these last couple of years. And I've never in all my years of ministry and life felt anything like I'm feeling now as He's closing the gap between everything that He is and us getting there in that love. When you pray in tongues, you're doing more than setting the orders in His plan for your life so it'll come to the surface and guide you into the truth He promised you. That you can't keep praying like that too without setting you on that trail that leads to everything God is, which is that love. Some of the best times that I had was finding out how to treat people under when they're being mean and ugly to you. And you're not supposed to be mean and ugly to them. When that love reached that part where I had to start conforming to that, boy, I had some times. I don't know if Gary caught me one time. Somebody come in to tell me off. Then they were got this far from me and they were, like he said, they were spitting on me. They were yelling. So I put... I'm going... He got done and turned around and stormed out, and he made it about 6 or 7 foot from the door. And I said, "Does this mean you don't like me?" I couldn't. See, I couldn't help it. But what he says about love, any man comes to me and hates not his father and mother, wife and children also, his own life also, cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after you begin you won't have enough to finish it. Which of you would go after a king with 20,000, with 10,000, with your 5,000? Salt's good, but salt loses its savor. What will you season it back to salt again? When he says, any man comes to me and hates not his father and his mother, his wife, his children, his own life also, don't pick up his cross and follow me. You can't be my disciple. I'm saying, hate him. This is what he was meaning. Anybody that comes to me and does not love me more than them. Because see, you can't love them more without loving him more. So when you love him more, that's when you're going to love them more and do the right thing. So the more that you love him, the more it frees you to love them more. So you love him more, then you'll love them more. He says, for which of you intending to build a tower, don't you calculate it to the last nail? You're going to build a tower, count the cost. Well, the cost we're counting. When we're building this tower, the cost we're counting. If we're going to love him more so we can love them more and do for them what will be needed to be done to salvage them from hell and make sure they make it in this life. Well, he goes on a little further. He said, which of you going after this king with 10,000, with five or send it in message of peace? He said, how would you know what to do? He's on the same answers. If you love God more than your mother, father, mother, your children, then that builds you up to love them more and to doing the right thing. But there's also wisdom in it for our walk even. And he'll build us up to do the right thing. You'll send an ambassador of peace. When he went on to say, to wind that up, salt is good, but if it loses its savor, where shall it be seasoned? You don't have a replacement for salt. He said, salt's good. If it loses its flavor, what are you going to season it with? What he was saying there, who are you going to get to come and be to you what Jesus Christ is? You can't. See, there's no place you can go. But when I love him more, okay. Okay. I didn't know it was affecting my loved ones so much that when I love him more, I'll love them more and I'll do the right thing. Yes, sir. I will. When I love him more, I have the wisdom to finish the tower. When I love him more, I know what to do about that king. Because there's nothing else that can replace what Jesus is in your life. Whew. I just didn't read it because I didn't have to. I read it. As things continue what's been prophesied for many, many years, know that this path that you'll walk down of an ever-increasing love in your life will be the best thing you have done. So pursue this and know this is what you need to face anything with. For I am love, saith the Lord. So when you see these verses, I just love Luke 6. Do good to them that hate you and pray for those who despitefully use you. And they slap you on the face, turn your cheek so they can have a good hit at the other one. If they take your goods, don't ask them again. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's what that Luke 6:30 is about giving. Is you're holding Jesus up between sinners and they're taking your money and slapping you in the face and doing stuff. You're just holding that blood up. So whatever they cost you, He's going to heap it down, press it, shake it, run it together, and give it back to you. Just because you loved Him that much. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, just because you loved Him. Well, how can you love Him that much? Because you love Him more. When you love Him more, then you can love them more. Then you love Him more, and you can love them more. It's not hard to walk in. Wait till you see what He'll do in your life to compensate for what they did. You'll go, oh my God, this is wonderful. He won't leave you broke down. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. What's got into me tonight? A talking spirit? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. I just thought he just had patches on his elbow and it's a nice guy. Yeah, real nice. real nice. Well, it really didn't stop there. Some more things came. But I'll stop it. I'll stop it there. I've held myself together up till now. He says, you got a job. You're looking for one. You got one. It's your Mecca. That isn't even in the thinking process of the road I was on. Okay, you got your job. You got a job. So, you don't have to worry about not having one. You're looking for one. You got it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes. Tonight, tonight's different. Sometimes words can't do something justice. And ever since a certain place in this walk that closed in on the love of God, I'm running into things I don't have words for hardly yet. But they're coming. I just can't imagine more of what I felt and saw with Him. I can't imagine it. And for you that was here when I gave a explanation for being in, I think, the fullness of it for 1 minute. In that 1 minute, I had no fear. None. Cast out all fear. None. And then what He showed me after that, that I already told you, at Children's Hospital and that, what He showed me after that, and it never fails. So I can tell you that you keep praying in tongues and it'll keep bringing you from door to door to add to your foundation what this you need and that. And you see, Praying in tongues doesn't replace fasting. It drops you off at the door and gives you the revelation of it. And fasting does what it's supposed to do for you then. So once He gets this in your foundation, these things, I mean, it closes in. At one point, I opened the room that said love. It said it. And I opened it and I went, oh, wow. Love. Boy, that got real good. Na na, and la la la. Boy, I said, this is really, I've never felt anything like this. And then I started wondering about some things that God does that don't sound like that pure love. It sounds like, you know, He's kind of like, with hell's hot or something like that. And I wondered where all these guys would come up with the doctrines of all-inclusive. And even further than that, you know. Or, no, all-inclusive is everybody is saved because of what Jesus rose. Everybody was lost because Adam died. You don't have to get saved. That's all-inclusive. And so, these things devils started throwing at me at that level of that love. That made me know a lot of them stopped there. I could understand better eternal security, meaning after you got born again, you couldn't backslide. But they took it a step further, and I'm going, is this how some of those guys was taken out? And I only let me walk in that for a while, then the door closed again. And I thank God that He did it, or I'd have become a Carlton Pearson. And probably went all inclusive before it was over because it's so real. But He closed that door, and I didn't get to put my foot into that love until other things was added from other doors. And when that took care of that, then He opened that door, and for 1 minute I got to feel the fullness of His love, where there was no fear, no doubt. I was heading for Jude's Children's Hospital, not to just pray for the children, but to empty it, and I knew it. So, if I would have stayed where I was and not went on past that place, then I'd have questioned things by the level of love that was opened up to me. And I've seen what happened to a lot of preachers that are saying what they're saying about what they're saying now. So you got that saying? For it took a time to reveal what I've revealed and to bring forward what's being brought forward. But yet in these last days, with knowledge increasing, that it's becoming every bit accessible for the Word to cover all the earth. So as I'm working in this, saith the Lord, you'll see many things begin. You're living in an exciting time. Be strong and hang on, because I will use you in a mighty harvest. So lean yourself over to the Holy Spirit and be taught by Him, for He'll stay ahead of this for you and show you what is to come. I'll take that. I'll take a dozen of that.